Hi guys, my name is Kemiola and you're welcome to another episode of Word to the Weary. Yes, it's already the second episode. I cannot believe it. I am shocked. I did not expect to make it this far between you and me. Yes, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to be doing this already, the second episode. So today, I'm going to talk about something that is on my heart, you know. You're probably gonna hear like vehicle sounds and all. My house is by the road. It's not sound insulated, so there's a lot of that, which is why I prefer making these at night. Yeah, like the first episode was in the middle of the night, so it was much quieter. Now I'm just anxious. I'm very conscious. No, now I'm just very conscious of the sound outside. I'm not anxious. I'm just very conscious. Yes, and today I want to talk about something that has been very important to me just in my journey and my life so far. And it's peace, right? So in these days, right, the way everything is now, with media, with war, with all the news that we get, all the stuff that's happening, peace is kind of like a rare commodity. Everybody is suffering from high levels of anxiety, serious nervous system breakdowns, and just with that, you know, it's a constant thing for most people around the world, which can be very worrying when that is the state of everybody, is that they are constantly in a state of worry, of unrest, of, you know, well, not everybody, or most people, let me correct myself, is the state of most people. And it's a big thing in that peace is like one of the most important things, you know, because the state of your mind is important. The state of your mind determines the state of your heart, it determines the state of your life, determines the state of your work, you know, how well you work or do life or relate with people or do other things. All boils and starts from the state of your mind. Now, if there's unrest in your mind, there is, you know, it's gonna be hard for your interactions with other people to portray or give that. So the point, what I'm trying to say is, if you're not at peace, you're not someone who can give others peace. And it's so important that you be at peace, because if you cannot give others peace, if you on a low level, you know, on a subliminal level, spread unrest already, it's just propagating the propaganda. Is that right? I don't know. But yeah, and when I think of peace, right, every time I talk about peace, it always takes me to that scripture that the Bible talks about, peace that passes all understanding. And in the context of peace that passes all understanding, it's how I visualize it is, there is chaos, but then you are at peace in the middle of all of that. It's like, it's a peace that doesn't make sense. And it's a kind of peace where people can't understand. They can't relate to why you are at peace. Especially, you know, if surrounding circumstances, if present circumstances speak to the opposite. If present circumstances suggest that you should not be at peace. The scripture where it talks about peace that passes all understanding, the peace of God that passes all understanding, is Philippians 4:7, right? And just this earlier today, when I was ruminating on the idea of peace, you know, I read the scripture and it just brought me deeper into that concept. It was as though that was what I needed to see this morning. I'm just gonna do a verse 6 first. So verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything. This is Philippians 4:6, right? Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So New Living Translation, don't worry. Oh yes, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's what I was looking for. And I kept saying New English Translation, New English Version. Yeah, New Living Translation, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And then the peace of God, right? And that's where we have the next verse. It said, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. So for me, first of all, again, when I think of peace, I take it from here, right? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's the beginning of that. So for most people, it doesn't make sense to just pray, but that's literally where it starts from. And look, you know, in my experience, prayer doesn't have to be the taking the time, breaking out the meaning, having to be like a quiet space where you are. No, it can be in the middle of your day. Something gets to you, you know, you get news at work that is upsetting you. Just take a moment and talk to God about it, right? And that prayer is talking to God. So you start first by talking to God about it. And then when you talk to God about it, then tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. So it's that in the search for peace, right? There is an important part of gratitude. Gratitude plays an important part in this. So if you are anxious or worried about something, it's very ironic. Sometimes when I read scriptures, it's like it's pointing to the opposite of what I feel I should be doing. So there's a worry, and I am a mover. I'm somebody who, like, what needs to be done? Let's go. Let's get it done. I'm not a waiter, right? I'm learning to wait by God's direction. But me, you know, by myself, I'm not a waiter. I'm not a let things line up or try to trust that. I didn't used to be. Let me not say I'm not. Now I am. But before, I didn't used to be a waiter. I'm not a let's try to trust the process person. I mean, what needs to get done? Let's get it. Let's go. Let's get work done. Let's move stuff. Let's move stuff around. That is like my predisposition. I'm a writer in real life, people. I can't even English. But yeah, it's my basic way of doing stuff. It's let's get it done. And so this is saying, and so for me, it's when there's a worry, when there's something to handle, the first thing that occurs to me is not thanksgiving. So this is human, right? The first thing that occurs is generally not thanksgiving. The first thing that occurs to me is let's troubleshoot. Let's do a pros and cons list. What's the problem? How can we solve it? What are possible solutions? Best case scenario, worst case scenario. And that's great. If you're like that, it's not a bad thing. It's beautiful. It's just one of the things that you need to learn to do, especially when troubles come, is to first talk to God about it. And when you talk to God about it, it's saying tell God what you need, then thank Him for what He has done. It's it's ironic because I'm not in the mood to start saying, I mean, I need something to be handled. I'm not in the mood to start saying, God, I thank you for life, I thank you for breath, I thank you for, I'm not in that headspace. Because there's stuff that needs to be done. So it's very, I don't know how to say it. It's ironic for me to, you know, have to do that first, right? And then what happens? So when I tell God about it, tell Him what I need, and thank Him for what He has done, then I will experience God's peace. That's what it says. So verse 4 says, yes, tell God about it, pray about it, tell Him what you need, thank Him for what He has done. And then in verse 7, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. So the peace that you need is in God. You know, the peace that you need. Sometimes, you know, what you get in that state of trouble. Now, I know that when you say this, it sounds like I'm saying God will solve your problem. It does not mean that God is, that problem is solved instantly. So let's assume that you have an issue. The truth is, if you are in a place of worry, of stress, of, you know, unrest, even if there were a solution that you can think about, you cannot come up with it in a state of unrest, in a state of anxiety. So what prayer does sometimes, it's not always that it's, what prayer does sometimes, it's not always that you're, prayers instantly become answered, is that you get the calmness, this peace that passes understanding. You get the instant calm in your heart first to say, okay, this is the situation and this is how I'm going to deal with it. Something that I started doing this year is swimming. So I've been interested in it for years. And this year I just decided to, you know, take the bull by the horns, as is my style. And I started taking swimming classes, right? And I have this amazing trainer, right? And I'm learning in this really mid-sized pool. I mean, now it's small to me, but I mean, when I started, it was like the biggest pool. It looked like a small river to me. And there's something that my instructor always tells me. He says, you know, when you're swimming, you run out of breath. Don't panic. When you panic, you're going to ingest water, which is dangerous for you. When you're swimming and you run out of breath, calmly look around in the water. Where am I? How close is, you know, the edge of the pool? How fast can I get there? How much more do I need to? Like, calmly tell yourself, I'm fine. I'm not going to drown. Look where you are. Can my feet touch the ground? If my feet can touch the bottom of the pool, maybe I should try to stand, because it means I'm not that far. I'm not that far in the deep end, you know. And just that moment, in that state, right, the first few times that I was swimming in the deep end, because that lesson hadn't sunk in, anytime that I started running out of breath, I would start panicking. And then after a while, I'll just start raising my hand, like, please help me, help me. So when I do this in the water, he knows I'm in trouble and he reaches out his hand. And oh, this just reminded me of this analogy of, you know, Jesus in the storm, right? So when I'm drowning, just let me finish this thing with my swimming instructor. When I'm drowning or panicking in the water, I start doing this. As far as I start doing this in the water, he can tell that I am panicking, I'm running out of breath, I'm, you know, whatever. And he comes and pulls me out, or just helps me raise my head, and then I take a breath and I'm fine. But in that moment, because I panicked, it seemed much worse. And that's what first calmly involving God does for you in terms of peace, is that you don't panic, you don't suddenly get overwhelmed by the water, because chances are, if you are calmer, you know, you are able to solve the problem. That's what peace that passes understanding does for you. It puts you in a state of mind where you are aware. Yes, I'm in the deep end. Yes, I'm running out of breath. Yes, if I don't leave here in the next, you know, 5 to 10 seconds, I will have to ingest water. And once you are in that state of mind, that moment where you can say, oh, how do I navigate? Where's the edge? You know. And then when you can't, another thing that happens with my instructor is, I told him, right? I said something that helps me is, if I can hear you telling me what to do, especially when I'm learning a new move in the water, something that helps me is if I can hear your voice. So I always ask him, are you around? I need to hear your voice. So when I'm swimming and he's saying, you're going left, like when I was learning the backstroke, he's like, you're going left, focus, relax your waist. Your waist is, you're stiff, stop being stiff. All those instructions help me. So as far as I can hear his voice, I'm sure that he's watching me, so I'm not scared. And then, you know, I would calmly swim to the deep end because I can hear him telling me, keep going, keep going. You're doing it right. No, you're doing it wrong. That's what going to God first does for you. So when there's trouble, when there's an issue, the first person to take it to is God. God is like the trainer, the instructor by the side of the pool that will keep telling you, okay. And then there are times I'm panicking and I start doing this and he says, you're not far from the edge. Keep going, you're not far from the edge. And in those times, he doesn't pull me up. So that is kind of the analogy. That's how I can picture it right now, you know, as how God deals with us. Sometimes we're struggling and we're doing this and he's like, you are not far from the edge. Keep going. And when I'm at the shallow end and I'm doing this, it says, just stand, Kemi, just stand, you know. And I just stand and I'm fine. And those times are funny because we both start laughing about how much I was panicking when I could just put my feet down, you know. And he says, keep it in mind, you know, once you're here, even if it feels like you're drowning, you're not. You're fine. And you need that voice. You need that voice. Sometimes beyond needing your mind to be calm, you know, to assess your situation, sometimes you just need the voice. You need the voice to tell you, hey, you're fine. Stop panicking. You're okay. That's what taking it to God first does for you. When you take it to God first, he begins to guide you. He begins to speak to you. He begins to tell you, oh, this is not as bad as you think it is. And this is as bad as you think it is. And okay, maybe this is how to navigate this. This is how. And then that gives you peace because you are walking with a navigation from within. You're not walking as one that, you know, one of my favorite prayers, right? Sometimes at the beginning of my week, sometimes just at the beginning of my day, one of my favorite prayers to say is, today I will not walk with one as one without direction. I say that a lot. Today, I will not walk with as one without direction. Why do I keep saying with one? I say, today, Lord, I will not walk as one without direction. Today, I will not walk alone. Today, I will not walk as one without a voice. I will not walk as one without your voice. I will not walk as one without direction. So when things happen, it's that voice, that inner direction that you have that gives you that peace, you know. And sometimes we forget also that peace sometimes is not a calm, you know, still voice. There's something I was hearing, I was listening to, I can't remember, it's old now, but there's this song I was listening to, or a worship session, a spontaneous worship session I was listening to. I think it was from T.Y. Bello and Sinach. I'm not sure, but I think. And they were talking about peace. And I think it was Sinach that said something. She said the thing about peace is that sometimes we always think peace is calm. And this is the beauty in the nature of God. Sometimes peace is not calm. Sometimes peace is not a still small voice. Sometimes peace is strength. Peace is force. And you know, to bring it back to how I said this, reminded me of Jesus in the middle of the storm. The storm is raging and Jesus is sleeping. And right, he wakes up, and to calm this storm, he says, "Peace, be still." And the waves calm down. Now, imagine the amount of strength it takes to calm a raging storm. So sometimes peace is the amount of strength it takes to calm a raging storm. Sometimes peace is just that powerful. And then it moves from just being a state of rest, a state of calm, to being a strong force, a stronghold that cannot be broken. And that's the level that you should aspire to. Personally, in your own space, you can also, you know, stay away from things that incite your anxiety. For instance, I, at some point, did some tests, you know, and I was tested. I had some very high levels of anxiety and all of that. And I did not realize that my level of media consumption was worsening it, because in my Become Mature project, something I did a lot was listen to the news. I had that face, and I just wanted to like be a mature woman, a cultured woman. And one of the ways that I thought to that was, I have to be in the know with current affairs. So I listened to the news a lot. And what was happening is I would be sitting through my day, you know, working on an article, just working, and I would suddenly think of something that I heard about somewhere in the Middle East, and you know, I would instantly, waves of fear, of worry would wash over me. And because then I didn't even know how to pray, I couldn't hand it over to God and then feel calm after. I would just be there getting jittery and worried. It was insane. It was so bad that it spread into every part of me, and then I would scare easily, you know, if I was here, we say my brother in the house, and I knew that it was my brother in the house, and my brother just came and did boo. Like, I saw him coming. But you know that thing where you're not conscious, it has not registered. So maybe I know my brother is in the house, right? We're both in the house. And he comes and he says, boo, I would jump so hard, you know, I would, like, I was just a bag of nerves constantly. You know, I was consuming that. I was consuming a lot of social media content, which, again, that is just, I mean, that's the basic at this point. You have to really streamline, you know, there's the place of going to God for calmness. There's the place of trusting in the strength of God and harnessing that strength to calm the storm, calm the voices in your mind. But there's also the place of controlling, you know, the things, protecting your peace. There's the place of protecting your peace, controlling the things that may act as a deterrent to that peace. And if that is consuming less media, if that is staying off social media as much as possible, if that is not speaking to certain people even. You know how there are people you talk to, and then in the conversation, they are telling you about horrible news they heard from one place or the other, telling you about somebody that died or didn't die, telling you about how, you know, some people were attacked, you know, telling you, like, every conversation with them is bad news, scary news, dangerous stuff. Then even that you need to guard against. The point is, everything that would serve as a deterrent to your peace, everything that would serve as an hindrance to your stable-mindedness you need to guard against. You need to, because again, like I said, peace sometimes is strong. So that strength might be discipline on your end. That strength might be the discipline to not engage in certain conversations. That strength might be the focus on priorities, on things that are important rather than things that are not. That strength might be the insistence on not comparing yourself to other people and just saying, you know what, there's contentment here. Saying there's contentment here because, you know, God is in this. That might be the strength that you need. Whatever it is that you need to do to guard your peace, as much as possible, do it. But the first point of contact, the first point of call, is to always take it to God. Anything that incites your anxiety, that incites your worry, take it to God. You know, peace is something that I believe that the Lord is very particular about us having, right? So many scriptures point to this. You know, we can go in different parts of the Bible where the Bible constantly talks about God giving us peace. And the one that comes to mind right now is where Jesus says, "Peace I give unto you. This peace I give, not as the world giveth." So there is peace that the world gives, but that peace is not the peace of God. And the peace that trumps all pieces, yes, all other pieces, you know, is the peace of God. The peace of God, right? It says in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That is like that is like one of the biggest assuring scriptures for me in the scripture, that the peace he has given to me, and it's not as the world gives. So do not be afraid, do not let your heart be troubled. A way to ensure that you partake in that peace is to understand and accept that that peace has been given to you. You know, there's a scripture in Psalm 29:11 that says God gives peace to his people. God blesses his people with peace. Yes, Psalm 29:11. The Lord gives peace to his people. I'm just going to read it out real quick. I'm looking for another version. That's the, I think that's the King James version I just said. So let me read from another version. So the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace, right? The Amplified version, which I like to read sometimes, the Lord will give unyielding and impenetrable strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So peace is a blessing from God. Peace is a gift from God. Peace is something that God intentionally gives to us to ensure a good quality of life. If you are having issues of anxiety, if you're someone who is anxious a lot, nervous a lot, you know, I just want to encourage you today to first of all talk to God about it. Like that scripture that I read earlier, pray, take it to God. Doesn't have to be a grandiose prayer. You don't have to say all the words. You don't have to do all of that. No dramatics. Just go to God and tell God, "God, please give me peace." And then if there's a specific issue regarding this issue, in the matter of this and this, "Lord, please, I ask for your peace. Lord, I'm trusting you for peace regarding this and this issue." Take it to God. Thank God for the things that are working and see things start to turn around. And even if the situation doesn't change, you have peace in your heart. So you praying does not guarantee that the situation will change. What changes is you. And if you change, then everything else, to be honest, can be sorted out easily. But you have to experience that change in you to say, "I am at peace. In spite of this, in spite of all that is happening, I am in a place of mental calm. I can approach this, you know, from a place of calm in my heart and in my spirit." Because that is where you need to be to handle things. That is where you need to be, you know, to get things done. And I think lastly, if I would say anything lastly, the last thing that I would say is, one of the ways to also ensure peace is to control your thoughts. You know, control your thoughts. And for controlling our thoughts, we have a pattern for that in the Bible already. Yes, still Philippians. Still Philippians 4. I think Philippians 4 is just a gem, right? I think Philippians 4 is just a gem. It's just a gem that we should take time to study, just in your spare time. Go to Philippians chapter 4, right? In your spare time, go to Philippians chapter 4 and just read it. Just let it speak to you. Let it speak to you. So Philippians 4. So now this is great. So I'm just gonna read the whole stretch of it, right? I've been breaking it from the beginning. So I'm just gonna start from Philippians 4 from verse 6 and go down to 8 or 9, I think. So yes, start from "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." Then verse 7 says, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And then what comes after this? It says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts." Fix your thoughts. "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received, everything you heard and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." Look, it's basically a pattern here. So beyond you've prayed about it, you've spoken to God, you've involved God, you're in a better place mentally, and then what do you do after that? When the peace comes, the way to ensure that the anxiety does not come back is to fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true, it says here, right? "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." So do not focus on what's not working. Do not focus on what the problem is. Do not focus on, I am incurably optimistic about everything. I kid you not, I am incurably, like, no matter how terrible it is, I'll be like, "Oh, at least this worked out. At least this was good." What happens is, you might seem unrealistic at first, but then you realize that you are in a constant state of joy. I say it a lot, you know, I've been known to say amongst my friends, I tell my friends a lot, I say, "Look, nothing can take me out of my place of joy." Like, literally, I won't get sad. I won't stay in a funk. I won't be depressed just because of what? No. Because fixing your thoughts is a constant practice every day. Meditating every day. Fixing your thoughts on what's important every day. Ensuring that you do not allow the negativity, the devil, you know, the parts that are not working, the things that are upsetting. Ensuring that you don't allow those things to dwell in your mind. Fix your thoughts. If you achieve calm now for this moment, then you need to constantly make constant efforts to fix your thoughts, so that you don't go back. Because usually when you go back, it's always hard, you know, to go and come. It's always harder to come back. When you go back, then coming back is a whole other process again. So instead, before you get there, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. I love that version so much, right? This version that I read is the New Living Translation, by the way. So this is Philippians 4 from verse 6 to 9. New Living Translation. Fix your thoughts. And then it has said the peace of God that... So first of all, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Secondly, fix your thought. Do all that you've been taught. And then the God of peace. Sorry. So first of all, fix your thoughts. First of all, talk to God about it, right? Let Him know what you need. Thank Him for what He has done. And the peace that passes all understanding will be with you. Secondly, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. And the God of peace will be with you. It's a no-brainer, guys. It's simple practice. You need to get used to putting this in your routine as much as possible. You know, protect your peace. In this age, in this world where it's getting increasingly hard to stay genuinely joyful, not happy, because as one of my favorite worship ministers would say, happiness is based on happenings, right? So not happy, but joy. Joy is a spirit. Constantly maintaining your joy. And to take it to joy, you know, it's simple for me. Scripture says, "In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy." So if you want to have joy at all times, constantly engage the presence of God. And the presence is there. You just need to engage. You need to go into the presence. You don't, there are people that say bringing the presence down. Mm-mm, I don't believe in that statement, right? I believe it's entering the presence, engaging the presence, because God is everywhere and God is everything. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And it makes sense to me why birds are constantly chirping and just happy. I mean, I don't know, maybe they are arguing, but they just sound happy. It makes sense why flowers are constantly in bloom. Why, you know, things are the way they are in nature. Because there's the presence of God in all of that. And, you know, I'm going somewhere else, but to just bring it back. One of the ways to ensure that you are engaging the presence of God and the peace of God is to fix your thoughts on what is true. And I guess I'll stop there for today, because it's getting me into a whole other space, and I'm feeling so blessed right now, you know. And I'm just gonna encourage you lastly to constantly engage God, talk to God. We heard so many things about prayer, and if you were brought up in very traditional Christianity like I was, prayer has to be a ceremony. But I'm growing and I've learned that prayer doesn't always have to be a ceremony. I'm constantly praying at work, you know, on the road, taking a walk, cooking, whatever it is. I'm talking to God in the middle of that, in the shower, dressing up, everything. I'm talking to God about it. Engage God, because that's where the mind control that you need to do for yourself can start from. It starts from engaging God. And that's it for today. Thank you for listening. And before I go, I'm gonna recommend some songs for the peace. Some songs that I thought about for peace. So today, I was earlier in the day when I was just thinking about recording this and ruminating on peace, I remembered this song. So the title of the song is Peace by Lionel Peterson and Integrity, what is this corner? Integrity's Hosanna. So Peace by Lionel Peterson. Yeah, check that out. It's really old. It's a really old song. I must have listened to it like, I don't know, 10 times earlier today. So it's really nice. Yes.
Peace when trouble blows, Jehovah sees. Jehovah knows he is my peace. When sorrow nears, Jehovah sees, Jehovah hears.
It's a really powerful song. And right off that, another song that I'm recommending today is this hymn, is one of my favorite hymns.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul.
Yes, it's the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. Yeah, that's my second song recommendation today. So Peace by Lionel Peterson and the hymn It Is Well With My Soul. Please check them out. I think that they're really amazing. They're songs that have helped me be calm, especially when, you know, it doesn't feel calm. Yes. And so that's all for today. So lastly, I want to say, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. God bless you. Bye.